from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down. Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game.
It's Optional, hour number two, rolling along here on Fan Run Radio. Mark Moses is going to join us here in a second. I was during the break. I guess the poster for some, it's a movie called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It's a Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
But there's so many good actors in it besides Brad Pitt and Leo.
The star power is real in that movie.
I mean, Pacino, Kurt Russell, Dakota Fanning, James Marsden, Michael Madsen, Tim Roth, Damian Lewis, Emil Hirsch, James Renner, Brenda Vecchio. I mean, good Lord.
Yes, never say Lena Dunham is star power. You were about to, though.
I was about to. I hope this is not like a violent Tarantino movie. Like I kind of hope it's not like that. I'd rather just have a full-blown good movie. I don't need a Tarantino violence. Not with a cast like that. Mark Moses is going to join us here in a minute. We're going to start breaking down everything and talk to him, just get his opinion on teams down in Florida making the tournament and his thoughts on where he thinks this thing is going to go. And I look forward to him coming on as usual. He's always fun. Always a good time. Looking at the other brackets, I was looking at the Syracuse Baylor, like Gonzaga type bracket as well out west. You know, that's a pretty tough one. You know, Florida State, Vermont playing in one game in Hartford. You've got Marquette and Murray State. Murray State's going to be a tough out. That could be upset for Marquette. You got Buffalo that's going to be playing the winner of a play-in game. Arizona State and St. John, which is it all is even look, Texas Tech, Northern Kentucky, and Nevada and Florida are good. So it's one of those things, man, where continuing to roll on and figure out who's going to win and who's going to do this and that, it's. This is going to be fun, and I hope you get your bracket filled out. You don't technically have to have them filled out until, like, Thursday morning, but you want to go ahead and get the play-in games down. Like, I don't think – do you lose points for play-in game losses?
I don't think so because they really – like you say, you just have to get it in by the time the play-in games have been settled, and those teams – you don't lose points for play-in games, though. I don't think so. Maybe you do, but I don't think so.
I was just checking. Okay. So I'm looking at this. Then you got VCU and UCF as well. I look at that, the top bracket with Duke. UCF is actually a pretty good team. I've watched them play a couple times this year. The one that stands out to me a lot is I watched Liberty play Lipscomb last week. I actually watched two of their games in the A-Sun. They play Mississippi State in a 12-5 matchup at 7:27. So I think that one's going to be interesting as well, continuing to look at it. And then Maryland, and here's the fun one for me. Maryland's going to play the winner of Belmont and Temple. And I think that Belmont game is going to be a lot of fun. I was excited for Rick Byrd. I was happy for him that he got in. He was shedding tears. It was cool to see. Belmont getting an at-large, that doesn't happen. So that was fun. Let's bring on my man now from 1560 down in Melbourne, Florida, Mr. Mark Moses. Mark, good afternoon to you, buddy. Happy March.
My man, Trey, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. I'm just reveling in, you know, the good times of looking at the brackets and trying to figure things out and, you know, coming off a, a wild weekend in Nashville, not partying wise, but just a crazy weekend of basketball. You know, Mark, actually, I'm just drained. I'm just tired, Mark.
You're drained, huh?
It's so much fun, though, man.
Okay, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I did not have Auburn winning the SEC tournament. If you would have told me that back in October, I'd be like, no, I have a better chance of dating Katy Perry. Like, what are you talking about?
It's a good one.
And then they somehow took that game from Florida where the seven guys tackled the Gator shooter at the buzzer.
Yeah, what was that?
I have no idea. And now they're saying the referees are like, oh, well, they didn't get a good angle. Didn't get a good angle. What were you looking at Twitter? What were you looking at on that play?
I was third row in the press seating, and I saw it. But then I had to go back and look at it again to really get a look at it. And I was like, how the hell do you miss that? And here's the crazy part, too, Mark. Bruce Pearl was calling for the foul. He wanted them to foul, but probably not in that situation.
Oh, that is insane. Like, it's funny because you do a great job where you always break down, like, all the stories of the SEC and always there's a controversy. So we now have a scenario where Bruce Pearl is fine and Auburn's winning, and then LSU is the team that won the regular season, but now they don't have their coach, and then they're the controversial team. Like, I didn't have that also in the pregame or preseason review for this conference. Did you?
No. I mean,
no, that is something like that.
Me and Chance talked last week, and we were like, if there's any team that's going to make a run and turn, it was going to be Ole Miss or Auburn. When it came to the SEC part of it,
it's just baffling to what he's saying that look at what's happened in LSU.
I agree
with
that.
This has been happening
right.
2 years at Auburn, and it's like, no, Auburn's a Cinderella. Look at Bruce Pearl. Get good job, Bruce. Like, yeah, who would have thought?
Here's the crazy part. Mark, Bruce Pearl's got two coaches that have been suspended in the last year. And he just won an SEC championship. Will Wade, his ass ain't even coaching right now. And they won an SEC regular season title. Like, what world are we living in where these two are going to hang banners and potentially they might not even be the coach in a year from now?
I know. It's a great point. And when I look at LSU, I'm just like, well, if he's on record, like the wiretap of him trying to bribe people. Well, then how much is the point guard? How much did he get? Did the power forward get the tractor like it's blue chips? Like, what happened here exactly?
He got the Lexus like neon.
No, I know. He did. And who does LSU have in round one? They have Yale.
Yale.
You know what? I would not be shocked if Yale wins and LSU's kicked out after
80
one
points
game.
A game. Yale does.
Yeah. This is so crazy of a college basketball season where – especially in the SEC, we have all these controversies.
Yep.
And then, I mean, you guys in particular, Tennessee for a stretch there was the number one team in the country. And then you end where you don't win the SEC regular season and you don't win the conference tournament.
Yeah.
What? How did that happen with this basketball team?
I'm telling you, man, it was something like, we've been talking about this earlier, and Rick Barnes mentioned it today. Man, that damn Kentucky game should have been for the championship because Tennessee left it all on the court Saturday, and you could just tell that they – not that they didn't want to be there, but in a sense, man, we're just mentally drained. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things. I look at it and, you know, the way that they were turning the ball over and all that jazz, it makes sense. You know what I mean? It does. We forget sometimes these are 18 to 21-year-old young men. So, you know, stuff happens, and now we're sitting at the tournament and along with a bunch of other teams in the SEC, and it's very interesting to me. Man, going back to LSU for a minute, because I want your opinion on this. I mean, you got Will Wade, then you got the AD coming out, and they're speaking through lawyers now, through the media. You know, they're saying, oh, I can't talk. It's my amendment rights, or congressional rights. I don't have to talk, or constitutional rights. I don't have to talk. And then the AD's like, well, come on in, Wade. You know, if you're persuasive enough, we'll let you coach. And he's like, no, I'm not going to come in. I'm good. So it's kind of this back and forth. And then it comes out today that Javonte Smart has been cleared to play in the NCAA tournament opener. So, like, here's how they phrased it, Mark. They said he was cleared to play in the first SEC game last week, and he's cleared to play as of right now in the first NCAA tournament game this week. Doesn't that just scream, okay, we're diving hard into this investigation, but we don't quite have enough potentially yet to implicate him?
That was exhausting to just hear that conversation.
Exactly.
I just want you to know, it's such a disaster and embarrassment for that university, everything you just said, and then especially in the regular season finale where their own athletic director, who had to do the right thing and suspend the coach, was then booed by the fans at the game on senior day as they're winning the SEC regular season championship. It's a disaster. They do not deserve to be in the tournament with all the things that's going on there. That is a disaster. I keep yelling the same word over and over again, but that's an embarrassment as well to the SEC, what's happening there. He should be fired. Hell, if you take a step back, why does Sean Miller still have his job at Arizona? I thought he got in trouble. Like, what happened there? What is happening with the NCAA with all this stuff? And I say this all the time on your guys' show. The older I get and the more I cover the NBA, I'm getting tired of all these stories where people are getting paid under the table. You're making so much money and these players are getting nothing. And so I'm getting sick of hearing these stories after a while.
It's like legally hand them an envelope of cash now. Don't make it illegal anymore. Figure out ways to for these guys to make a little coin on the side and do it legally, you know, in the right way and not have to skirt around the NCAA. You know, so I agree with you, man. I think it's something that when we look back on it, LSU is going to get in more trouble, I think, because you had heard the story about the hospital, right, down in Louisiana, where the head of Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital, which is connected to LSU, mm-hmm. the CEO, he stole $813,000. Well, guess what he was doing with that?
What?
He was using it on gift cards, and he also employed a parent of a football player and let her have a job as well at the hospital. And they think he could potentially be the bag man.
Hey, it's still not as bad as California. I know you talked about it as well. The aunt from Full House.
Becky.
That is an embarrassment. And it's like, you know what's funny about that story is it's not even a political thing. Like, you could be a Republican, Democrat. We'll all unite in hating those rich people that for what they did there. It's ridiculous. And then they're photoshopping to get on the rowing team. And, like, it's a disaster. Like, that. Forget about what LSU's doing. Those people are going to jail or prison for what they did, and they should, because that was a disaster.
She got $1 million bond. Like, she got, Aunt Becky got $1 million bond.
Oh, I know. Like, we can't even comprehend that type of money. That's the other thing. Because what did they? She spent what, $500,000 to try to get her daughters, who, by the way, just want to be Instagram models, into USC. That's how crazy this is. 500 grand. How much does that college cost to go for 4 years? Is it even 500 grand? I don't even know because I'm a peasant down here in Florida. I don't understand.
You're down there working the streets at night, aren't you there, Mark?
Oh, hey, someone's got to.
Someone's got to pay the power bill.
Exactly.
Hey, what do you make of Mike White down in Florida, man? They get in, but in my opinion, Florida basketball program should not be having to wait around and hope to get into the NCAA tournament. They should be a team that you know, coming into March that they've at least done enough during the season where they don't have to be worrying about it on Selection Sunday.
I have been on record as saying this. Down the stretch, his team did not play well. And they saved face winning two games late in the season and one against LSU as well.
Right.
And then had to squeak in, like you said, with an at-large bid. You think about it, this is pretty much like year three for him, and he had that run to the Elite Eight, but he used the last regime's players, and now these are starting to be his players. This isn't good enough for this organization, for Gator basketball. You expect more. But at the same time, it's hard when Duke has three top five picks. So we're going to have to live in this world where you're going to have to get one and done now moving forward if you want to compete at the highest level. And you're right. If you're Mike White moving forward, you got to bring in better recruits, and you got to compete for the regular season championship. You can't just sit here and go, what is it, 19 and 15? And this has always been my thought with them. they got in off years past being a name brand in March Madness. If they were like a, I'm trying to think of just like a cupcake. Let's say you're Florida Gulf Coast or something. They're not getting in the tournament this year.
Right.
Florida has that brand of they make the tournament. And not only that, but they can win a game or two. So they'll put up a fight come March Madness. That's why they got in. They're not a great team. They're a good team and a bad team, and they're pretty much a 500 type team, if you want to put it that way. But they did get those two wins. They should have beaten Auburn. But I tell you, Mike White, this isn't good enough moving forward. It's not when you're making that much money. And that's why I give credit to Rick Barnes, where you guys are. That Tennessee program was dead, and it was irrelevant.
Yeah.
He's brought them back and made them a power in the SEC, and they have a chance to get to the Final Four. That's a realistic goal for this team this year after you made it to the Sweet 16 last year. That's where Florida needs to be. And I'm telling you, that's why Rick Barnes, there's a part of me, maybe he should be Coach of the Year in what he's done there in a short time.
Well, you look at the turnaround, bro. And he was 14-17 chance, something like that,
yeah,
a couple years ago to where he's at right now. I just, you know, players buying in, man, and building a program up and trying to do it the right way. Two more questions. I'll let you get out, man. You looking forward to Kentucky fans invading Florida and Jacksonville this week?
Yeah, they're everywhere. What are you talking about? Hey, don't worry about it.
They're down there right now in their mobile homes. Getting out of winter.
Yeah, imagine being a fan base of that where it's like, you know what? We're not really getting the one and dones anymore. What's going on here?
That's true.
Like, when you think about it, I know, look, and here's the thing. They could get a new coach. They're going to be Kentucky basketball, just off the pedigree and the brand. Like, they're going to be Kentucky, but I tell you, Coach K, he's taken over everything.
Yep.
I mean, I think they can get to the Final Four without Zion. It's like he's gotten all the recruits now. They used to go to Kentucky, but now they're not. Now they're all in the ACC, but they'll be fine, Kentucky. They can make a run as well, but I don't know. I've been around the Kentucky fans for basketball. It's fun. PG version of saying it.
You know what I love, man? I love, you know, and look, we've been covering SEC menu for a long time, and we look, you know, I look at Kentucky fans, and I'm thinking, you know, they're so energetic, and they'll travel like crazy to the tournament this weekend, you know, in Nashville, you know. And they're all hostile, and they're all crazy. I had one Kentucky fan call me an a-hole walking out of the arena, and I didn't do anything. I was, like, dressed up nice. I had Knoxville on my media credential. So he just come up to me and said, "Have a good afternoon, a-hole." I was like, "Wait, what? What did he just say?"
You're the enemy.
I was like, "Wait a minute. I didn't even do anything." But it's one of those things where they lose the game, then they're like, "Oh, okay, well, you know what? We didn't care anyways."
Oh.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. Your ass wouldn't have brought 16,000 people and spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars if you didn't care about that game on Saturday or winning an SEC tournament. And that's what Calipari does. He's like, "No, I don't care. It gave us an extra day of rest." And I'm thinking to myself, man, let me tell you something. You knew that you cared if you lost that game on Saturday. Don't play that with me.
You're so angry still that someone called you that.
I am. I don't know why they called me an a-hole. I don't get it.
Do you think one of them said, like, "Don't worry about it. We're a football school now. We beat Penn State in the Citrus Bowl. Don't worry about it.
We're rolling. We're going to get back to the powerhouse now. We're good." They don't know that they have the Wofford Terriers in the second round, potentially, or even Seton Hall, who beat them earlier in the year. So it's going to get interesting. Mark, on the way out, man, I know you haven't probably had a lot of time to look at a bracket right now yet, but is there two or three teams that stand out to you, maybe beside Duke, that you think could go all the way, play for a final, a national championship in the Final Four in Minneapolis?
Florida State is a team that I cover.
Ooh, a sleeper.
They made the Elite Eight last year and lost to Loyola.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, it was just the power of Zion was too much in the conference championship game the other day. But I think they can make a run. I mean, you got to take on Vermont, maybe like a Marquette or Murray State. They can get through the Zags. I never believe in the Zags. I'm a hater.
They can beat Gonzaga. Yeah, I agree with that.
And then you'd maybe have to take on like Michigan or something. I could see that. And look, I used to live in Charlottesville, Virginia. I got to always root for the Wahoos. Like, I gotta see them. I tell you, this is it for Tony Bennett, because they were playing in their quarterfinal game, and Florida State whooped them, just like they lost, you know, in the 1-16 seed last year.
Yeah.
All the pressure. Forget Duke. Duke is fine. Virginia's got all the pressure on them. They got to make a run, and that's why I think they're going to have a killer instinct once we get to Thursday. I think they're the team you got to watch out for, and I'm very high on. I know you're big in the SEC. I think this is the ACC's year to really show their dominance, and they had three teams be number one overall seed. So I like Florida State, and I like Duke, and I like Virginia. I want to see the underdog, but I think the big boys are going to dominate this year.
I would agree with that. I like Tony Bennett. I do. I think he's a class act as a coach, and I think he runs his program really well at Virginia. And I think he's, you know, I think he could take his team a long way. The only slip-up I see with them is if Ole Miss's point guards actually play pretty decent, they could give them potential a game in that second round if Ole Miss gets by Oklahoma. So that's kind of where I'm looking at it from them. But I could definitely see a Virginia Tennessee type matchup in the Elite Eight to play in the Final Four, something along those lines. And you never know with Duke, man. We'll see how it plays out. If Zion gives, you know, plays 100% and he's out there rolling, then Duke would probably be in the national championship as well. But you know what, Mark? It's that time of year, buddy. Anything can happen. Anything can happen, UMBC.
And let me tell you this, and I'll let you go. It's like wait till he gets that draft lottery special on ESPN. Okay. When the Suns and the Hawks and the Bulls and the Knicks, when they're there and those ping pong balls are flying, oh, man, that is going to be – I'm not kidding around. The whole country is going to be watching, and every team that goes there to represent their organization is going to have their Zion jersey ready to go. This is just like LeBron James all over again. That is going to be must-see TV when we get there in May. I cannot wait for that special.
It's first time in what? How long has it been since people would probably tune into that and, like, be tuned in just to see where Zion's going? Chance, you're...
I think people tuned in, obviously, whenever LeBron, Derrick Rose, whenever Kyrie and the Cleveland Cavaliers' son won that pick that year.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the most hype in the last probably, like, 7 years or so, for sure. Lonzo Ball was a big draft. I mean, people were just for LaVar Ball, his antics, people were watching that.
His dumb ass.
Watching the draft lottery.
Maybe they'll send Lonzo down there to you in Orlando, Mark.
No. I had to interview Michael Carter Williams last night.
My God.
Yeah. And then we're at the game, so it's Magic Hawks last night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm telling you, I'm like watching the game. I'm like, who's that old guy? And he looks like he's playing like pickup basketball at the YMCA. Who's that? Oh my God, it's Vince Carter. He's still playing. It's incredible.
And he's thinking about coming back for another year next year.
When I was a – I'm not kidding around. When I was a freshman in college, and this is the fall of 2000, I had a guy on my floor have a Vince Carter Toronto Raptors poster. 2000
Damn,
when that happened.
Dude, you're 52
it's amazing.
Years old.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts. And then Trae Young shows up and, like, good for him. I'm so happy that he's going to be good in the NBA. It was cool to see him as well.
That's awesome, man. You get to do that, man. That's great stuff, buddy. I'm glad you're having fun with it down there. And you know, if you see Vince Carter walking around with a helper or anything like that, you know, just take a picture. But has it been pretty, man? For him, I mean, he's still going and making millions of dollars. So
yeah.
You have to give him credit. Some team's going to sign him. So is what it is, and they play on. Mark, please tell everybody where they can follow you, your fantastic show, and all your crazy good antics.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, just follow me. Everything is Mark Mosey's show. And if you see Trey Wallace, don't call him you-know-what when you see him in public.
You're such a – have a great day, Mark. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have fun with the tournament. I'll see you.
Thanks, buddy. Mark Mosey from 1560. Fantastic interview. Love having him on. That's my boy down there covering the Magic and college basketball and football. Back on the other side, we're probably going to have a pee-pee in here in a minute. We'll do a little crossover with the drive. Russell Smith. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville.
Founded in downtown Knoxville.
It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville, doing the crossover right now, getting everybody ready for the drive that's coming up. Russell Smith joins us this afternoon. Russell, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? It's tournament time. Have you done your bracket?
I've got it right here. It's not updated.
I hate mine already. It sucks.
You've already done your bracket?
Yeah, I did one. I filled one out. Didn't pick a ton of upsets. I've got Duke beating Carolina.
Oh, wow.
The national championship.
Little revenge game. They beat them twice without Zion. So, I mean, that makes sense. I like that. I don't know about you guys, but we all want Tennessee to make it all. We want Tennessee to make it to the Final Four. Cut the Nets. I can't pick them in a bracket, though. I never pick any of my teams in brackets.
I feel bad picking against them. Like, I can't pick them to lose. I think I had
You don't pick them to lose too soon, but you can't pick them because I know you probably – I know for
I've
sure
got us
you think it's
to,
bad luck.
I've got us losing to Carolina in the Final Four, which would be fine with me. It would be devastating.
It's the Final Four.
It would suck, but to go to the Final Four for the first time in school history would be an unqualified success, and it would definitely wash away a lot of the disappointment of losing yesterday and having no championships to show for.
I agree with that. What's your – okay, Saturday. Probably I've said this a couple times. I'll continue to say it. Probably one of the best college basketball games I've ever witnessed in my life. Period. And I made the point to say, I know Tennessee lost yesterday, but please don't forget what happened Saturday. I know you're going to talk about a lot on the drive, but give me the two-minute breakdown of just what you thought – about how things played out coming out of Saturday over a huge win over Kentucky, how they flowed into Auburn.
Well, it seems like our team was emotionally exhausted, and I know tiredness should not be a factor for Tennessee because Auburn is playing four games in 4 days, where we're only playing three. But Trey, you were there, and I talked to a couple of people who were at the Kentucky game. And from what I heard, and this came through on TV, and Dick Vitale said it was, I think, like one of the two greatest conference tournament atmospheres he'd seen, and the other was like Carolina Duke in the 90s or something.
Figures.
But, like, people, it's hard to imagine because you go to a college basketball game, even a great environment, whether it's here in Knoxville, whether it's at Kentucky, at Florida, wherever, it's always one-sided. College basketball fans don't travel en masse the way they do in college football, right? So what you had Saturday was – anytime somebody scored, anytime there's a big play, anything, the arena went wild.
Right.
And I know it was probably a little bit more Kentucky fans, but there were
60-40.
Yeah, but there are enough Tennessee fans to really make a lot of noise. So it's just constant noise back and forth. And it seemed like yesterday against Auburn, we were more emotionally exhausted than physically exhausted. We were probably physically tired too, but no more than Auburn.
Right.
But it just seemed like we didn't have any juice.
Yeah.
In the tank, not just like energy. I'm talking about emotional juice.
Yeah, I feel that way too. But do you guys think it's a little bit? It's a weight on their shoulders that they carry with them because they were playing against Auburn. You know, wanting to beat Bruce Pearl for their coach, knowing how everybody in East Tennessee still is very loyal to Bruce Pearl and has an affinity for what Bruce did here and has that love for him. That maybe they pressed themselves that it was too big of a game for him.
See, my opinion is that. They don't get – look, here's one thing.
I think they think about that in the back of their mind.
I don't know, though. I think with Tennessee, with this team, they don't let a lot of things distract them. And you can – I could tell, and I'll say it again, you could tell how loose they were. Tennessee does this thing where they have a boombox outside.
I saw that. They're like the hype man coming out. They're like guys
it's
holding
like
the
NWO.
Belts. It's like Tyson coming out back in the day.
Right. And they get – and they're getting completely jacked up, and they're excited, and they're moving, and they're going – and it was one of the – I get intense about it. It was one of the coolest things as they were leading out of the tunnel to play Kentucky Saturday. I knew where they were going to be at, so I wanted to get back there and get that shot. But what I'm getting at, where the juice comes in and them thinking about Bruce, none of these players – I know they read social media because you see the retweets and the likes and Instagram, all that. But none of these players were involved with Bruce Pearl, period. And – I think more or less it was the Auburn players that knew.
Yeah, no, that's a good
point. We got to go out and prove a point for our coach compared to Tennessee. I mean, these Tennessee players don't – I mean, they know about Bruce Pearl and the history of Tennessee, but they don't care. He didn't do anything to them. He didn't do anything to Rick Barnes. You know, so that's where I kind of stand on that. I don't think – it wasn't Tennessee, hey, we're going to go out and beat Auburn's ass because of Bruce Pearl. It was we need to go out and beat Auburn because they ruined our chances at a regular season title.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Pearl stuff is a huge deal with our guys. I think they wanted to win just because we haven't done it in 40 years. They missed out on the regular season title, and we all know the odds are stacked against us winning a national championship. Let's be honest. Yesterday was probably our last chance, most likely, to win a championship. So
yeah,
I just think we were gassed. We were exhausted. Auburn hit a ton of threes. I mean, we did not play well on either end of the court, offensively or defensively. It was our worst game of the season, even worse than the Kentucky game up there at Rupp, man. We just did not play well for whatever reason, and it's tremendously disappointing. But I will say this. The win over Kentucky Saturday was so sweet. To me, it's kind of a wash.
Right.
I'm disappointed. It's the SEC tournament. We haven't won it in my lifetime. But, man, beating Kentucky on Saturday was sweet.
I'm going to ask you this question, and this is going to be interesting, you and Chance, because I know yesterday was for the SEC tournament championship, but would you rather take that win against Kentucky and the way it played out over the win versus Auburn yesterday? You had to pick one. I know you're going to lose Kentucky type game type thing, but I'm saying the experience. It was one of those things where you more or less.
Yeah.
I take that experience. You know,
I'm taking cutting down the nets every time.
Yeah, I think you got to lean towards the championship, but I don't know. Beating Kentucky was sweet.
In that situation,
that was pretty awesome, and. I don't know, maybe it's one of those things where Auburn just has our number. Maybe that's just a bad matchup. You know, Dane Bradshaw had a really great tweet. I retweeted it yesterday. I'll see if I can pull it up real quick. But he was basically saying, look, you know, it's kind of a bad matchup because Tennessee, our strength is moving the ball around with quick passing and inside play.
They're going to slow it down.
Auburn's is denying entry passes with smaller, quicker post players and denying passing on the outside. So it really discombobulates us. And you saw us with the turnovers, which is very uncharacteristic of Tennessee and Rick Barnes. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
It also makes sense to me how tired they were with the layups they were missing as well.
I can hear the Barnes bashers now. And there's some credence to this. Man, by the way, Bruce Pearl has Rick Barnes' number. There's no doubt about that. Guess what? Rick Barnes has John Calipari's number. There's no doubt about that. I mean, there are trade-offs in this sport. But there probably is some credence to we should have seen that coming. We, you know, maybe play more three-guard lineups.
I can agree with that.
Adjust your game plan a little bit accordingly. And it didn't seem like we did that. We fell into the exact same traps that we fell into a week ago in the game down there.
I'd be interested to see how they play Chance against, like, Colgate.
Yeah.
And I know this is Colgate we're talking about, but Cincinnati does this too, where, guys, they roll out – they're rolling out three-point guards. Mm-hmm. And then they have a 6'8". I watched them last night. I can't believe I watched the whole damn game. I watched them last night play Bucknell in their championship game, and they roll out three-point guards, and they have a 6'8" guy. And then they roll out a 6'10" – you know, a guy that probably weighs 230 pounds, and they just they pass the ball around. They almost do the same thing.
They're going to hit double-digit threes, aren't they? It's going to be such a frustrating game Friday.
Tennessee's going to have to control.
No. I hate it already. I'm already pissed off. Pissed off.
Easy, Russ.
If Tennessee would not have played Auburn's game and would have played their game, because there were so many times, Chance and Russ, that Grant got the ball in the post, and his immediate reaction was to pass it outside the post when he had the advantage on the Auburn player on the inside. And I think that's what hurt them as well.
Yeah, the thing that – yeah, I mean, Auburn got Tennessee to play their game. And when you're looking forward, you talk about, you know, Colgate, and then if you beat Colgate, potentially playing Cincinnati or Iowa. That's the thing. Yeah, Tennessee does want to run. They're best when they can run up and down in transition. But these teams coming up in the tournament, if you beat Colgate, if you have to face Cincinnati, it's going to be a sloppy game. They're going to try to muck it up in the half court, especially Colgate. They're going to try to kill you with ball possession and wind the clock down. Like you say, try to hit some threes on you. And they're just going to try to slow Tennessee down. Tennessee can play all facets of the game. They can speed up. They can play in the half court. But lately, towards the end of the season and then in the tournament, they don't look so good when they're just trying to play in the half court. They have to be effective defensively and getting points off turnovers. When they get points off turnovers, they're the scariest team in the nation, in my opinion.
I think Tennessee comes out and curb stomps Colgate. Coming off yesterday, knowing in the comments that I heard on Friday night from Admiral Lamonte, that, hey, look, we missed out on a regular season championship. And I asked them what they were going to play for, you know, besides winning Kentucky. And it was to go win a championship. I think they come out pissed off, and they curb-stomp Colgate Friday afternoon, which sets up an interesting matchup with Cincinnati or Iowa on Sunday.
Yeah. That mentality. I hope so. Yeah, that'd be great to come out pissed off a little bit, but we're going to have to guard the three-point line, obviously. This right. is a three-point shooting team.
Who do you throw out there? Who do you put out there? Because you see the starting lineup is that they roll with Cal, Admiral, Grant, Bone, and Lamonte. Do you try to switch things up? One thing that Pond is good at, guys, on the defensive side, he's actually pretty decent at a matchup position when he's guarding. Offense, he's not there at all. It's not even like he's present. But do you throw him? Do you change anything up?
Because he's one not thing going to. Rick Barnes ain't changing the starting lineup, man. Once he when was the last – we made one change this year. It was Bowden to Lamonte, and that happened – what, like after the Kansas game?
Yeah. It was nine games in, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was early, and he stuck with Lamonte through thick and thin. So
he's playing good defense, by
yeah.
the way.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, he's definitely kicked it up in that regard. And I really do think that despite what happened yesterday, I think that shot that he hit against Kentucky was a huge confidence booster.
Oh, you heard him in the tunnel.
He made a couple yesterday.
I got my swag back.
No, I believe that.
That goes a long way. And I'm
he had 24 points yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So effortlessly.
I don't think we're going to change the starting lineup. Now the rotation has been.
Do you like what he did Saturday when he came? Because once I saw Walker at the scorer's table and we were a minute and a half in the game, I was like, I know.
And he didn't play at all against Mississippi State, did he?
No, but I was like, I know what he's doing here. He's bringing Walker in to get that foul on Reed Travis. And what happens?
PJ,
a minute
yeah.
or P and PJ. A minute into the game, when Derek Walker's in, he gets a foul.
That was big, yeah.
He gets a foul. And he's using those players. I think you use Walker in that capacity.
Yeah.
Come in and hack a guy up.
I think matchups has a lot to do with it. Kentucky is bigger and more physical than Auburn, who's more of a perimeter finesse oriented team. So it is going to be different. Not knowing a ton about Colgate, it sounds like you said three-point guards, they shoot a lot.
Three.
I'd imagine that we'll see probably less Walker and more Pons, maybe even some Jalen Johnson this weekend. So I think it largely depends on the matchup. But the bottom line is we just got to have guys hitting on all cylinders, man.
Yeah,
we got to bring it on both ends of the court. And I think that the thing I've been harping on, what did we finish? I think third in the country, KenPom offensive efficiency this year. So, yesterday, turnover problems notwithstanding, we have been a very good offensive basketball team. We have not been as good defensively as we were last year. And they're pretty good. I think they finished 32nd in the defensive efficiency ratings, which is okay, but it's not elite. And we were elite in that regard next year. And it's weird, man, because it's the same guys out there. And they have just not been able to lock down on a consistent 40-minute game-to-game basis the way they did
last year. That's what
concerns me.
And things are going to be interesting. What's coming up on the drive today?
I don't know. We'll probably have a lot of tiddlywinks conversation. We'll get Bear's thoughts on campaign finance reform. No, I mean,
that's good. I'm excited.
NCAA tournament tips off, man. It's bracket time. We'll be talking King of the Brackets. We will be breaking down Tennessee's draw. We will be talking all things college basketball, man. It should be fun.
No spring practice today?
Well, we'll hit on it a little bit, but it's spring break, you know. Those football guys, the baseball team, the basketball team, they're here working. Football guys, they're out on a beach somewhere, drinking Coronas, got their toes in the sand, soaking up some rays. One time it pays to be a football player.
Oh, God. Ladies and gentlemen, Russell Smith at the Drive coming up from 3 to 6 with Bear, Brandon, Rick. Make sure to tune in. Thanks, Russ, coming over to Crossover.
Yep.
It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville, rolling along this 2 o'clock hour. Thanks to Russ coming in for the crossover.
Thank you, Russell Smith.
Always have fun with him.
I thought Russ would be coming in here a little bit more if the sky is falling. I'm actually proud of the guy.
I'm proud of him.
I'm proud of him. He's very measured. And that could change from 3 to 6.
We'll see how our show goes in 30 minutes.
Once he's sitting with the Bear and, you know, sitting with Brandon and those knuckleheads, that might change once all those callers, you know, the Negavals and all the Barnes Bashers calling. He might go back to the sky is falling. But I'm very proud of Russell Smith right now. Very measured. Very composed.
Doug Gottlieb just posted a tweet, and I'm kind of agree. If I'm UNLV, why not see if Frank Martin wants a fresh start?
Ooh. I think he's got it good in South Carolina, though. Like, they don't want him out of there.
No, I know that. I'm just saying.
UNLV, but that would be like bringing UNLV back to the forefront with a guy like Frank Martin. And he kind of.
He's pretty nice. Well,
he's a Miami guy. Used to be a bouncer at one time. I think he could live in Las Vegas.
Hang in Las Vegas.
He could definitely hang in Las Vegas. You know where we can hang? Little facts.
Foolishness.
And always with some foolishness. Foolish, you ready?
I'm ready, man. Bring it to me.
Couple today. Most of these always are going to be, they're kind of tuned around what's going on with the headlines. So today, a lot about the tournament, obviously. So first one today, Trey Wallace for Facts or Foolish. Tennessee's regular season and SEC tournament runner-up status signals failure. Facts or Foolish? The way you end the regular season, couldn't get a share, lose to Auburn, come up. Auburn stole 2 championships from Tennessee. Does that signal failure? Facts or Foolish?
I have to call it fact, but not in a mean way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not a harsh way, but yeah, fact. They blew it.
Yeah, it's a big fact for me, too. I mean, they failed on what they wanted to accomplish.
They blew winning championships.
For their SEC goals. You want to win the regular season title. At least get the share of it. You want to win the championship game after the way you've played and got there after the game against Kentucky. And lo and behold, you lose to Auburn again. Next up, facts are foolish. Tennessee will make it to the Sweet 16.
A fact. Straight up fact.
Big fact for you.
Tennessee makes the Elite Eight.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. I'm going to say fact as well. You got to go through. You win your first game, you're going to play Cincinnati or Iowa. Cincinnati or Iowa. The next game, it's going to be Purdue or Old Dominion.
Or Villanova
or St. Mary's. One of those, whoever wins out of those four games.
St. Mary's.
Yeah, they beat Gonzaga. I think that, yeah, we can beat either any of those four teams, and I think Tennessee can beat Cincinnati or Iowa as well. So I'm going to say it's a big fact that the Vols will make us proud this year and actually make it to the second weekend. Next up, Tennessee got snubbed with their draw, their region draw. Facts or foolish? A lot of people kind of differ on this.
I don't think they were any way hurt by the – where they were placed. It's a hell of a lot better going to Salt Lake City.
Yes. I think
it's a one. You're 5 hours away. You're playing in Columbus. You've got a big alumni base. You're good. You're golden. You win this weekend, guess where you get to go next? You get to go to Louisville.
Yep.
Hell, you can all travel to Louisville.
We can all do it. We can all do it.
Come with me to Columbus.
Do it.
Hang out.
Follow Trey. Get on. Everybody just line up their cars and follow Trey all the way to Columbus.
Hell no. I don't want to be the one getting the speeding ticket. Get somebody else in front of me.
Yeah, I'm going to say as well, I don't think they got snubbed. I mean, a lot of people went back and forth with this. I saw a lot of different thoughts. Like, oh, you put Tennessee. Kentucky was going to be a one. If they would have won and then they lost on Sunday, everybody said that.
They just beat Kentucky in front of 16,000 fans, Chance.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can't beat Cincinnati in front of 3,000 of their fans. You don't deserve to be there.
You really don't. You can't beat Colgate. You can't beat Cincinnati or Iowa. You really don't deserve to be there. This is what separates the okay teams from the elite teams, the average from the elite, the mediocre from the elite.
Site.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Tennessee got a good draw, actually, in my opinion. Like you said, better than Salt Lake City. Still close proximity for a lot of our fans to travel. I like it. Louisville, sign me up. I think that it was great. I actually think that a 2-seed, too. What is a 2-seed? Is 128 and something against a 15-seed. I'm not too worried about Colgate. But also, 2-seeds do pretty well in the tournament. They tend to do pretty well in the tournament. I like our chances. I like that Virginia is who we got to knock out if we go the distance. Like, you know, that's who you're looking at. I think that they should go the distance as well. So, yeah, I'm with it. I think it's definitely foolish. Tennessee did not get snubbed.
That was good. Those are good ones.
That was a good one today.
I like that one.
It was a good one today.
Those were good. All right, we're going to take our last break. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap up this show, get you ready for the drive that's coming up next with Russell Bear, Brandon, and Rick. News of the day coming up. And we're going out in style. It's Optional Fox Sports Knoxville. Wrapping up the show today. Appreciate Aaron Torres and Mark Moses joining us today. We'll have those podcasts up for you to listen to here in just a little bit. Let's get some news of the day going real quick as we go out
life
today, Jance.
Pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once over. In a while.
Little mix, little cross like mix. It. You like that? Yeah. All right, Trey Wallace starting it off. News of the day. Today is National Oatmeal Cookie Day. It is also National Awkward Moments Day and National Sloppy Joe Day. Sloppy Joes.
Sloppy Joes.
Sloppy. Also news out of the NFL, Trey Wallace. Haloti Ngata, if you remember him from his time with the Lions, especially the Ravens, he retires from the NFL yesterday atop Mount Kilimanjaro.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of those, like, you know, really, like, Jared Allen did it riding off on a horse. We're getting a lot of these, like, really exquisite retirement announcements. Man. Also, the Cincinnati Bengals cut linebacker Vontaze Burfict today.
Hello.
Duke is your overall number one seed if you're just checking into the tournament, with Virginia, Gonzaga, and UNC rounding out the number ones. Tennessee's number two taking on Colgate. Also, in other news, Quentin Tarantino releasing a new movie called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, starring Brad Pitt, Leo DiCaprio, Al Pacino was in that. Also, we got Margaret Robbie. It's a star-studded lineup. And in other news, for all the nerds like myself, James Gunn, director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
He will begin work on the third Guardians of the Galaxy shortly. For all of you Marvel fans, Gunn was previously fired by Disney after past offensive comments that had surfaced online.
Yep,
but bringing him back, and he's going to be working on the film shortly. Last news of the day, something interesting. NCAA committee pit Rick Pitino's former team Louisville against his son's team Minnesota. Rick is coaching in Greece, but hopefully he will show up and just be rooting the hell out of Minnesota Gophers. We hope so. And legendary guitarist Dick Dale dies at age 81. He's the king of surf rock, and his song Mr. Lou became iconic after it was used in the opening of Pulp Fiction.
Hell yeah. Good news of the day. Good this day in history. Capping it off, Johnny Manziel signs with the Memphis Express and the AAL.
He back.
Bye-bye, Matt Merger. Bye-bye. Fantastic show today, talking March Madness, getting everybody off that ledge after yesterday, letting y'all enjoy the big win versus Kentucky. Had a great time talking with Aaron Torres and Mark Moses. Chance Collins, thank you so much. Hope you have a fantastic time the next 3 days while you're out.
Yep.
I'll be heading to
vacation,
Columbus on
people.
Thursday. He's going on vacation. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Optional. We on Fox Sports Knoxville.